You hear my drum roll?
Well, that was just lovely. That really went through me, and that was really beautiful. So with that kind of setting, I would like to say, first of all, namaste and shalom.
Shalom.
So many of you know that I'm Jewish, probably all of you. And I enjoy telling you about the Jewish holidays. So today is no exception. Passover began on Wednesday evening, April 1st, and I held a Seder, a dinner that celebrates Passover in my home. So I'd like to share this holiday with you. Now, I went to one last year, but I didn't do it myself. I wasn't ready. Carrie had passed recently, and it's a lot of work. It's a very big job to get everything together and to do it. And then even this time, I ran into some difficulties because not only was I leading it and doing the part that Carrie always did, but I had to do the cooking part too, so, and make sure it all came out together. And that was a little difficult, but my friends all gathered around me, everybody helped, and everybody was loving with me. So you probably all know that the story of Moses and the Exodus is the festival that's celebrated at Passover. In Hebrew, it's called Pesach, for the Paschal Lamb, and is celebrated for 8 days. So the reason that it's that the lamb, and that's what I served for dinner that night, the other night. But the reason that it's a lamb is that they used the blood. One of the plagues that Pharaoh had going over Egypt until God had going over Egypt, so that Pharaoh would change his mind and let the people go, was that the firstborn son of each house was to be killed, but the Jewish families were to put a smear of blood from the lamb on their doorposts, and the angel of death would go over that and pass over to make it not happen to the Jewish families. Okay. So it's celebrated for 8 days, and I want to remind you that Jewish people do nothing quickly. Services last for 2 or 3 hours all day on Yom Kippur, and there are 3 holidays that I can think of that last for 7 or 8 days. So Jewish holidays are long. Pesach is the oldest Jewish festival. It's the defining moment in Jewish history, the departure from slavery to freedom. After Pharaoh's refusal to free the Israelites, God brought the 10 plagues, ending with the killing of the firstborn son in each home. So here we go again. Sometimes I forget what I wrote, so I tell you again. The Israelites were instructed to put a smear of lamb's blood on their home so the angel of death would pass over the houses of the Israelites so that their firstborn sons would be spared. When this 10th plague occurred, the Pharaoh told the Jewish people that they could leave. But they had to leave very quickly, so they would be gone before the Pharaoh changed his mind, because he had a habit of doing that. Therefore, there was no time to wait for the bread to rise. And those unleavened bread, matzah, is the symbol of Jewish liberation. In preparations for the holiday of Pesach, an observant Jewish family cleans the home of all chametz, it's called, food that has any type of leavening in it, and does not partake of anything except appropriate foods for the rest of the 8 days. So just for your interest, I brought some matzah. It's in a box, a thing back there. And help yourself. I couldn't bring butter. It got too messy to bring butter in. So just, it's not that great. Doesn't taste that great, but take a piece and try it, so you'll know what we're living through. The first 2 nights of the holiday are celebrated with a Seder, a traditional feast during which the story of Passover is recited. So the story is told every year because God said we should. I mean, that is in the Torah, that that God said we should do this every year. But the story, that, but we tell it to the children so that nobody, so everybody knows, nobody forgets that we were slaves and that we have now been freed, and that freedom is a very precious gift and we should appreciate it. The book that's used to tell the story is the Haggadah, which literally means the telling. And there's many, many different Haggadahs. I personally use one that was written in 1916. I have some of the original books, but I sent a lot of them to my son. So what we did was, Carrie took the parts, we don't read the whole thing, we abbreviate it. So he took the parts that we read, went to the copy store, and made little booklets, and so that's what we use to do our talk. It works, and it's old-fashioned, the wording is old-fashioned. Think back 1916, I mean, it was like, you know, a long time ago. But the story is the same, and it has the essences in it. So there's four glasses of wine drunk during the Seder. I guess that's what they did during those days. There are rituals of eating matzah, bitter herbs, usually horseradish, to remember the harshness of their lives in slavery. And I have my Seder plate, the one my grandmother gave me when I got married, is up here, and it has little dishes on it and pictures and so forth, and the blessings of all the things that you put out. So I take horseradish root and cut it and put little pieces on, and that's what we have to eat. To remember the harshness of their lives in slavery, a mixture called harosis, which is made from apple, nuts, and wine. And that reminds us of the mortar used between the bricks of the building that the slaves were required to build. And then there's something called the afikomen, which is a part of a matzah, which it's hidden early in the evening. The father of the house hides it someplace, and it's redeemed by the children. The children at the end of the meal, the children all go and they have to find the afikomen. They bring it back to the person who's in charge, and they redeem it for a gift or money or whatever. When I was a little girl, we got gifts. We didn't get money. I remember once I got a Miriam doll, that's kind of significant for me because Miriam is one of my healing helpers, Moses' sister. But I got a Miriam doll, and anyway, now they do money, and that's used to and then we eat that piece of matzah, and that completes the eating portion of the ceremony. So all of this is an essential part of the tradition of this important holiday. And there's some songs and rhymes and traditional poems that all of us look forward to each year. So when I spoke about foods with leavening, you may be surprised at some of them. Peas, beans, rice, lentils, sesame and sunflower seeds, millet, corn. Do you know how many processed foods have corn syrup in them? And peanuts. I had a hard time figuring out why Coca-Cola had to be special for Passover, but it's because it has corn syrup in it. So you look at those ingredients and you'll see what we don't do. No baking powder, baking soda, vinegar, and most liquors, as they are made from grain and not kosher for Passover. Wine is especially made and supervised for Passover use. The Seder table is set with the best china, crystal, and linens, which are not used at any other time of the year. So Carrie, my husband, remembers going down in the basement with his grandfather to retrieve the special Passover dishes from a big wooden barrel where they were stored all year, because you had to change your, everybody changes their dishes, but if you're religious, you do. And because you can't use, so religious homes have normally two sets of dishes. You have meat dishes and you have milk dishes, because you're not supposed to mix meat and milk. So, for Passover, you also have meat and milk dishes. So, because you can't use any other dishes that you've used during the rest of the year because they have chametz on them, even though you wash them. Okay, the place of honor is reserved for the special plate, the Seder plate. So it's decorated with pictures of the various symbolic foods that we talk about in the recounting of the Passover story. And okay, so on the Seder plate is karpas, a green vegetable, and I use parsley, which symbolizes spring and rebirth and is dipped in salt water, which represents the tears that were shed during slavery. The bitter herbs, or moror, reminds us of the bitterness of slavery. And I want to interject here with a funny story of my grandson when he was much younger, a long time ago. Of course, he did the ritual yearly, the dipping of the parsley. And I don't know how many of you serve parsley on your plate regularly at home, but we don't. So we were in a restaurant, and the restaurant served his dinner, and it had a platter, and on it was a sprig of parsley. So he looked around the table and he said, "Where's the salt water to dip?" So we explained to him that we only dip at Seder. But I never forgot that. He's 30 now, so it's a long time ago. The horosis, the apple mixture, is placed on the table. A roasted lamb shank bone has a place on the Seder plate to remind us of the Paschal lamb blood that was put on the doorways of the Israelites' homes. And a roasted egg is put on the plate to symbolize that life is everlasting. An extra cup of wine is placed on the table in the hope that this will be the year that the teaching of the Old Testament will come true and Elijah the prophet will arrive to foretell the coming of the Messianic era. So every year, okay. So the service opens with the lighting of the candles, as does every Jewish service. The traditional blessings are said, including the one that's said at the first night of every festival. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, shehachiyanu v'kiyamanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Praise be thou, O Lord our God, ruler over the world, who's granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this holiday season. And during the service, a child opens the door for Elijah the prophet, who will come to tell us that the Messiah is coming. Each year, every family hopes that Elijah will come to the door and drink that wine at their home. So when David, my son, was about 5, we sent him to the door to open it for Elijah. And after we recited the appropriate prayers, we asked David if Elijah was out there. He answered, "Well, I don't see him, but his car's there." We had a hearty laugh and then told him it was time to close the door and Elijah would knock if he wanted to come in. There are many Haggadahs in print and some are beautifully decorated and illustrated. Some used to be free from the Manischewitz matzah people, actually, but now they cost about $5 each at the grocery stores. At least I think so. I didn't see any this year, actually. But you can get them on the internet and there's all different kinds. My friend told me she got one that's called the Half Hour Seder. I don't know what's in it. I would like to read it. My friend lent me one that was written by Elie Wiesel. Wow. And that's kind of interesting because he talks about Seders in the concentration camp and so forth. So I've been looking at it and reading it a little bit. But the highlight of the service each year is the asking of the 4 questions about the rituals of the Seder by the youngest child. Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh Makol Halaylot. Why is this night different from all other nights? Why only matzah and no bread? Why do we dip the parsley in salt water, for example? Why the bitter herbs? Why are we relaxing, leaning on cushions as if we were kings? These questions are the lead-in to the retelling of the story of Egypt, retelling of the story of the time when Israelites were slaves in the land of Egypt and when God delivered us from slavery to freedom by dividing the Red Sea for us. And each year this story is told so that all the children will know and remember. So just as an interjection, it is appropriate that we're talking about Seder at this particular day, because the Last Supper that Jesus ate was a Passover Seder, which is, of course, why Passover and Easter fall so close together and why the wafer used in communion looks a lot like matzah. The main reason they're linked in time is because they're both cyclical, based on the moon and the spring equinox. But this is true. I mean, remember, Jesus was Jewish, so, duh. The traditional meal differs slightly from house to house. But most families start with something called gefilte fish and horseradish. Gefilte fish is made by grinding raw fish and making it into patties, similar to meatballs, and then boiling it and cooling it. Now, that sounds disgusting, but it's really pretty good. They're very bland. Gefilte fish is very bland. And so you flavor it with that horseradish, and that kind of zings it up. Next comes the chicken soup and matzo balls. And if you've never had matzo balls, they are truly yummy. So if you get to a deli where they're serving matzo ball soup, try it. You will definitely like it. The menu meal conserves of lamb, or roast chicken, or roast turkey. I usually stuff the turkey with a matzo stuffing, or brisket with potatoes and asparagus. Now, a lot of people used to use brisket because brisket, many years ago, was very cheap. Brisket is not cheap now. It's very expensive. But in the olden days, it was pretty cheap. So that was one of the reasons and it went far. You could spread it among your guests. But anyway, I did lamb this year. Dessert follows, and I can see your mind sticking away. How can you have a cake if there's no baking powder or baking soda? There's a secret. Passover is a holiday that uses many eggs. We separate the eggs and whip the whites until they're stiff and fold them into the rest of the cake mix, all made with matzo meal. So it's like a sponge cake, okay? Or an angel food cake, depending. And then bake it. Many of the cakes are sponge cakes. My special recipe is one that I got from my grandma. And this is the other grandma, not this one. And it's a sponge cake topped with a whipped strawberry topping, which is out of this world. Not only does it look gorgeous, but it tastes great. Of course, you can eat fruit or candy if it's made for Passover, so it doesn't have corn syrup. The last thing we eat is a piece of the afikoman, that matzah that I mentioned that was hidden earlier. So Passover is a family festival. There are synagogue services held, but it's more of a home service. Often family gathers that has not seen one another for a while. College students come home for the holiday if it's at all possible. Or they're often invited to another friend's house if they're away and they can't come home. I was invited many years ago when I was in New York. And the number of people at the table is usually more than can fit. So if one knows of a Jew who's visiting or a college student, it's customary to invite that person to Seder. So Passover is a time for remembering all the past times we celebrated. When I was a child, we always had a Seder with another family, and we alternated, one year at my parents' house and one year at Aunt Norma's. Aunt Norma came to my mother's memorial service, and she said that she thinks of me every year at Passover. That alternating home tradition continued until my parents moved to Florida. Of course, by then, we were married and living in New Jersey, so we rarely got to go to their Seder, but I remember those times with nostalgia. We developed our own traditions. The family living next door to us in New Jersey were not Jewish, and they had two girls the same ages as my boys. They almost always came to Seder, and if Sandy's mom was in town, she came too, and she drank all four glasses of wine. But she only had to walk across the lawn to get home, so it was fine. I had been so used to preparing the Seder that it was a shock when we first moved to Tucson and had no one to invite. So on the first night, we went to a synagogue and had Seder with a group of strangers. By the next year, we were invited to a friend's house, and by the following year, we had a group of friends who came. And now we sometimes go to a friend's house, or we travel to Virginia to have the holiday with our children and grandchildren, or I hold it myself again. And we always make our chicken soup with matzo balls. Carrie used to make the soup while I did the matzo balls, and this year I did both. It was okay, came out okay. There used to be a Jewish newspaper in Tucson, and one year at this time, there was an article that asked various people if there was someone living that they could invite to the Seder, who would that be? So think about it. Just think about who you would invite to Easter dinner or to Christmas dinner or something. Think about somebody that you would think would do that. Anyway, I started to think about that. I think Steven Spielberg would be a fascinating guest. Just think of all the discussions one could have with him about the Holocaust survivors. Neil Diamond would be another interesting guest. His voice would certainly add to our musical talents. Each year, I wish it were possible to open my home to anyone who wanted to see just what a Passover Seder was like, and periodically, I have. This year, I did invite some non-Jewish friends, but each time when I think about it, the number seemed to grow, and I have a glass table, so I can't even put in leaves. It's what it is. But if I made it possible for you to have a vicarious look at what a traditional Passover Seder is, I hope you enjoyed it. If it's appropriate for you, I wish you a Zizan Pesach, a sweet Passover. And for everyone else, I wish you a happy Easter. And again, Shalom.